You're listening to the No BS Nutrition Podcast. I'm registered dietitian Hannah McGee.
And I'm neuroscience PhD student Tariq Youssef. And for the next hour, we're going to tackle popular nutrition topics from a scientific lens, promoting fact over fiction with no BS. It's us again. Knock, knock. Welcome back to the No BS Nutrition Podcast. It's us.
It's us, Hannah and Tariq.
Coming at you with another week of episodes. Thank you for tuning in. I think we have, for the next 2 weeks, we have some interesting topics. Mm-hmm. And I'm really excited to share them with everybody, Hannah.
Yeah, I am excited as well. I'm also very excited about our 10K training that we've been doing.
Segue queen.
Whoa. I think we mentioned a couple weeks ago or last week. I can't remember. It's been. My head is all over the place.
It's been a
long couple weeks. It's been a pandemic. Oh yeah, it's a pandemic. We blame everything on the pandemic. But we've been training for a 10K in November, and we're just talking about how much we love, this is not sponsored, we wish it was, how much we love the Nike Run Club app. That's what it's called, right?
My new personality is the Nike Running Club app. That's all I talk about. It's all I want to talk about. All I want to talk about is the guided runs.
Yeah,
with all the
I
different coaches and all the athletes. Oh, they have guided runs for people who are listening who maybe haven't used it. You can track your running just like you would with any other fitness app that would track running, you know, counting steps and using GPS to figure out your pace and stuff like that. But the Nike Running Club app, I'm sure like other apps probably do too. They have, I guess they've hired athletes as well as coaches from around the world to do guided runs. So they're talking to you about running while you're running and they're giving you instructions sometimes. And I find the coaches are great, but I also find that I don't know about you, Hannah, but the athletes, when they do their guided runs, I find those so motivating and so inspiring, listening to them talk about their own careers.
Oh, yeah. There was one, I mean, there's a bunch that I found really inspiring, but one that, like, really got me was, I don't know if you've done it yet. I did it a while ago. I think it was a 45-minute run, and it was I don't know how to pronounce her name. Shalane
Flanagan.
Yeah. And it was about
What is it? Run fast, cook fast, eat, or whatever. What's
her
book?
Does have a cookbook. Yeah.
Cook fast, run fast, something like that.
I think it's cook slow. Is it cook slow?
Cook slow, run fast.
Something like that.
She's into nutrition. So it's very pertinent that you bring her up.
Yeah. And her run, it's about her like marathon journey and winning the New York City Marathon. I think that's the one.
She's kind of an icon. Like she's had a really impressive career, and she's also been very outspoken about people who dope. Like she's been very anti-doping, and she's been very outspoken about that. And I think some of her, basically, people were like pissed off that she was whistleblowing, but pissed off that she was being so ardent about like, she was always like, I run a clean game. Like, people who don't run a clean game, like, they should really like not do that. Like, these people, like, they know who they are. And unfortunately, I mean exactly what I say. Like, she's pretty amazing.
She is, yeah. And, oh my gosh, anyways, that run made me want to run a marathon, and I can't even run a 10K right now. So
yeah. But I was telling Hannah, I am per hour. I'm
per kilometer.
Per kilometer, I'm 2 minutes slower than I was. How many years ago?
I think
did
it was 3 years ago.
3 years ago.
Or two. Two or 3 years ago.
The way I see it, though, is, like, I have room for improvement, which is great. Like, I have something to work toward.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so much slower than I was. Like, I used to, when I played soccer in university and yeah. I ran, like, I could easily run
90 minutes. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And, like, but my pace was, even when I would go out for runs, like, my pace was so much faster. And it was just so, like, easy for me to run that way. And now I can, like, I'm just so much slower. And you know what? It's whatever. Like, that, you have to just
totally
recognize that that happens when you don't run. Like, we haven't, you and I haven't in the last 2 years been running very much. Like, I would run on occasion, maybe a couple times a week, but nothing consistently and, you know, anything like that. So that's just what happens. And you just know that there's room to improve, like you said. So
this is the first time, though, that I've been training for a longer run, and I felt this comfortable. Like, and it's all, honestly, thanks to the app, because they really force you to, like, take it easy and do everything step by step and not rush into things.
Yep.
And I remember training for the 10K when we did it several years ago, and I just did my own thing. I was like, whatever, I would just go for runs, and it was exhausting and whatever, and I did it, but I didn't feel, I didn't have a sense for all of the little accomplishments that I would have had along the way, but now I really do have that.
Yeah. And you know what? I think also maybe your, like, your pace may also be slower because, like you said, now you're using the app and they're literally telling you to go on easy runs and to run slow. Yeah. Whereas a few years ago when you were training, you were just going out for runs feeling like you needed to run fast. Or as fast as you could every run, you know?
Run fast,
fast. Yeah, what, exactly. And that was the same with me. Like, when I trained for half marathons, which I trained terribly. Like, I was not doing it properly. I'd follow, like, the training plan, but my, like, recovery runs or, like, runs, long runs, things like that, I'd still be trying to run as fast as I could, which you are not supposed to do. So I ended up kind of screwing myself by the time I would get to the race because I'd be so exhausted and burnt out because I was not training properly. So anyways, Nike Run Club app, it's free. This is not sponsored, but it sounds like it is.
I don't even think there's any premium things to it or any in-app purchases, which is really rare for an app these days.
Yeah, it's all free. and we love it.
Use code Just Kidding to get it for free.
You should add us as friends.
Oh, that's so fun. If you download it,
add us as your friend.
You can just search our names.
Yeah, search our names, add us as friends, and we can cheer each other on.
That's so fun. I would love that. Yeah. And we can all, you know, root for each other. And speaking of rooting for each other. No, that doesn't work.
I'm like, where are you going with this?
But I think we should just get into the main topic, Hannah. And yes. I would love for you to introduce for us what we're going to be talking about today.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So today's topic, it's something that you may have seen in recent weeks being talked about in the media. It's been making headlines. In the last couple weeks, and probably not for the best. I mean, I'm a little annoyed at these headlines, to be honest, but they're definitely attention grabbing. So today we're going to be talking about a study that looked at food and I guess the way that certain foods affect your lifespan. Kind of. And so if you probably have seen headlines going around Twitter or news stations or things like that about, or even on the radio, I think I heard it on the radio, about how eating a hot dog could take 36 minutes off of your life. I think that's kind of the biggest headline, is that a new study came out and it says that eating hot dogs or every hot dog that you eat takes 36 minutes off of your life. That came from a study that we're going to talk about today. And we're also going to talk about, we'll talk about, you know, what they did in the study, what they were looking at, what they were trying to find out. And then we'll talk about our thoughts and kind of what we think about these findings and how they can be used or should be used, or should they even be used to like inform your food choices. So we'll talk about all that. So this topic was actually requested by a couple people as well who listened to the podcast. So thank you for doing that. I think it's an interesting thing to talk about because it has been making headlines. So
hi, Joel.
What'd you say?
Hi, Joel.
Hi, Joel. Hi, Julia. Thank you for... Hi, yeah, thanks for...
Oh my God, Joel and Julia both requested. That's so
yeah,
funny.
Yeah, J&J.
We should get them in touch with each other.
Yeah, we totally should. Yeah. Okay. I think what's interesting... So I mentioned the hot dog thing, but one headline that you had shown me, Tarek, said that eating a hot dog could take 36 minutes off your life, but you can counteract that by eating a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, which adds 32 minutes to your life.
PB&J is one of the best. I categorize it as in the group of throwback foods. Like it's like foods nostalgic from childhood. And it's, I agree. I would believe that just on face value, PB&J adds minutes to your life. Sure.
PB&J literally gives you life.
That was good.
Okay. So let's talk about the study. All right. So the study is called, if you want to look it up, but you're going to have a really hard time getting access to it like we did. Thank you, Julia, for sending
us. Yeah, Julia's got the connect.
Yeah, she does.
Yeah.
So the study's called Small Targeted Daily Changes Can Yield Substantial Gains for Human Health and the Environment. And it was done by Caterina Stiliano, I hope I said that right, Victor Fulgoni, and Olivier Joliet. Those are some awesome names.
Very rare to have a three-author publication in Nature.
Yeah.
Extremely.
Okay, interesting. Yeah. So basically what they wanted to do in their study was to classify and prioritize foods based on their nutrition impacts or health-based impacts and their environmental impacts together. So they kind of wanted to look at both of those things and find a way to classify foods based on both of those different things.
Yeah.
So I guess like, yeah, so they came up with some way to quantify the health effects of food in minutes of healthy life gained or lost in a bunch of different foods. So they looked at almost 6,000 foods in the American diet. And the, I guess the way or the tool or the scoring method that they use to kind of categorize foods in minutes of healthy life gained or lost is what they called the Health Nutritional Index or Henny? Is that how you read that as? Henny?
I guess.
Yeah.
I was, you know, I keep reading it as Heaney, like Mr. Feeney.
No, I was reading it as Henny.
Hey, Hen.
Henny.
Yeah, so they had done this. There was this pre-existing study that those authors, I believe at least some of them, had already completed where they amassed a wealth of epidemiological data about people's lifespans and their food choices. And that's basically where they ended up making formulas to spit out numbers about if we were to categorize these foods as giving or taking away minutes from our lives, where would they end up?
Right. Yeah. So they, these scores, the scores of, I think it was exactly 5,853 foods, the scores ranged from 74 minutes of healthy life lost to 80 minutes of healthy life gained.
Know why I'm laughing?
Why?
You can cut this out, but I just remembered when we played that game where you had to list six pastas, and we couldn't even do that. But these people have over 5,000 foods that they're that they have information for. And in my head, I was like, at first, I was like, I can't name 5,000 foods. And then I was like, I can't even name six pastas.
Oh my God. So true. So we played, side note, we played the game 5 second rule, which I think like originated from the Ellen Show. You know, they would play that on Ellen. Sure. Or maybe, I don't know if it originated there, but they play it on the Ellen Show with like celebrities where they say name three things and blah, blah, blah.
Oh,
anyways.
Yeah.
So, one of the cards in 5 second rule said name like five or six different pastas. And like, nobody could name in like the 5 seconds, six different, I don't think it was six. I think it was three different pastas.
Oh my God. Was it really that bad?
And no one could name
it. I'm pretty sure it was just like lasagna.
I know. It was, I don't know. We all blanked on that, which is sad for you and I, Tarek, because we talk about food all the time, but anyways, yes, 5,853 different foods, ranging from 74 minutes lost to 80 minutes of healthy life gained. So yeah, like you said, this like score for each food, this HENI score or health nutritional index score, was determined by looking at different components in each food. So they looked at like beneficial components of all of these foods, and they looked at detrimental components. So the beneficial ones were things like omega-3s, polyunsaturated fatty acids, whole grains, nuts, vegetables, fiber, fruits, and calcium. And then the detrimental components were things like trans fatty acids, sugar sweetened beverages, red meat, processed meats, and sodium. So, based on how many grams of each of these things each food had, that number in grams. Tell me if this is how you, this is how I interpreted this.
This is actually a very important point.
Okay, so that number in grams was multiplied by a dietary risk factor, right? That they had also previously determined.
Right.
Yes. Okay. And then after that, they basically like used a formula to determine the net minutes of healthy life that would either be gained or lost by eating a serving of that specific food. Yeah.
Exactly. This, I think this is a very critical point, because if someone were to see, so they have this one figure in the paper where they have, I don't know, about 20 something different food categories. One of them is even just like hot dogs. Some of them are just like mixed seafood dish.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they give those ranked scores. One of the things is like candy, and candy's just a little bit positive up above zero. So I'm sure like another headline might see that and say, "Oh, candy adds minutes to your life."
Yeah,
but the really crucial part of this study is that all these scores are relative to the serving. So like eating one serving of candy is not the end of the world.
Right.
And I think this is like kind of reflected in that figure. And, but the way that that might get translated into the media might be completely different. So this is how the study turned from, you know, these risk scores associated with previously published data about nutritional information and health information into like hot dogs take minutes off your life.
Yeah, that's such a good point. Because they even said in the study that like foods with positive health nutritional index scores could like be considered quote healthy foods. And they did say that was relative. And then foods with negative scores like would indicate that consumption of that food increases risk of developing adverse health outcomes or could be detrimental to human health. But then, yeah, it's so true, like you said, because there was another, so you mentioned candy had like a positive health nutritional index score, and so did apple pie.
Right, that
was something that I read that, and so again, like that could be something that gets pulled and people are like, apple pie is actually healthy, you know what I mean? Or like, good for you, eat more apple pie. And it's like, well, it's not necessarily that simple. And I think we'll get into that.
I mean, one thing that we've talked about on the podcast before, Hannah, is with respect to processed meat and with even processed fake meat, one thing that is found in those foods, partly I think for preservation, partly because they'd be super bland without it, is a whack ton of sodium. So like that's one thing that I believe probably would have like contributed to a lower to a lower score for something like a hot dog, for example.
Right. Yeah, no, definitely. I agree. I'm just looking at my notes here. I have some different foods that they, that they looked at. So things like chicken wings were one that they talked about quite a bit. They used that as an example. Hot dogs, which also is interesting, that they really only mentioned once in the study. That's what gets like pulled and used as media headlines, that one little piece about hot dogs.
Yeah.
And like it taking away 36 minutes of life, or supposedly taking away 36 minutes of life. They looked at like pizza, they looked at apple pie, salmon or seafood dishes, things like that. So they found, like chicken wings had a score of minus 3.3 minutes per serving. But apple pie, like I said, had a score of 1.3 minutes gained per serving. And vegetable pizza had 1.4 minutes loss per serving. So it's kind of interesting. And they note that like something that had like something like apple pie that has fruits or vegetables in it, they said like seems to offset the detrimental health effects of some of the foods, which is kind of interesting.
One thing I wondered when I was reading that was kind of on the lines of what we were just saying before, like if would that score change if it turned into like five servings? You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. That's interesting.
I don't know. Like, I don't, maybe that's, maybe
yeah, I
it
agree.
Doesn't, but I feel like it might.
I think that's a good point. And I think that to me, that reminded me of the saying, like the poison is in the dose, right? So, for a lot of things, like, and I think that that can be applied for, and like anything like sodium or like processed meat, or like even like pesticides, like if we get into like the organic versus conventional debate, it's always kind of comes down to like how much of something are you eating. Because, and I talked about this on my Instagram recently, there's a lot of, I shared a video from another dietitian who said this, and you know, there's a lot of people on social media, a lot of like unqualified people, or like, you know, quote nutritionists who don't have any actual formal training.
Ashley Tisdale.
who like make content that says like, here are five foods I would never eat as like a quote nutritionist. And like, it's always things like this barbecue sauce or this, or canola, this because it has canola oil in it, or like all this stuff. And it's like, how much of these things like are, would you eat? You know what I mean? Like no one's eating cups and cups and cups of barbecue sauce. It's, you know, someone's usually putting a tablespoon on, their like protein that they're cooking or whatever, you know? So it's like the fact that, anyways, people make these like avoid this food, when in reality you're not going to eat enough of it to actually like have any detrimental health effects. So I think that kind of applies to things like processed meats and things like that. You know, it's like, it really comes down to how much of it are you eating? You know, if you have it once every, a hot dog once every, or like a couple times a year or something like that, is that really like something to stress out about? No. If it's something you're eating every day, sure. You might want to look at reducing your intake of,
you're also probably
meat.
Like eating other things that day that are going to fulfill your nutritional requirements, hopefully.
So that's another point that I had here was like, I guess that's why it's hard to classify foods based on like, or to try and classify foods based on how many minutes it like takes away or adds to your life, because, you don't just eat a single food every day. You know what I mean? You're eating so many different things, and it's really more about an overall dietary pattern that matters. And they did kind of mention that in the study.
Yeah, totally.
You know, it's this is more just like, I'm looking at the media here who like picks out these headlines and, or picks out these little facts and makes them headlines. But yeah, it's really more all about what you do most of the time, or your overall dietary pattern that matters, rather than, you know, every once in a while, or, and I think there's also other variables that affect our lifespan too, that you can't control for in something like this as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely. I mean, you're talking a bit about how obviously there's a lot more complexity than just like looking at this, the results of this paper from at face value. And one of the places where that comes up again is in the discussion of the environmental risk factors about these foods.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've said before about how there's this overgeneralization, and you made this point recently, actually, in another episode. Good point, that there's this overgeneralization that eating a vegetarian or a vegan diet is more environmentally friendly than eating a non-vegetarian or non-vegan diet. That can be true in certain cases, like looking at the data and understanding that animal agriculture takes like a lot of water and a lot of food and a lot of transport to raise the animals and to process them. But the same can be said for lots of plant-based foods as well, whether they're nuts or the nuts being turned into plant-based beverages. Those things are also very hard on the environment in terms of requiring a lot of water and a lot of land. And that's not even talking about the use of pesticides and the reduction in biodiversity of certain foods, like corn, for example. So it can be a really complex conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of like the environmental impacts, I guess we can touch on that a little bit. So after the researchers like classified the foods based on minutes of healthy life gained or lost, they then like classified the foods in different zones based on both the health and environmental impacts. So like the green zone was foods that have either like a health nutritional index score above zero. So like they supposedly add minutes of healthy life to your life. Or foods that have lower environmental impact. So those were kind of the green zone foods. And that turned out to be like, I guess this is kind of expected, but mainly fruits or vegetables, or whole grains, nuts, and I think some seafood. And then the red zone was foods that they saw either had like detrimental or negative nutrition impacts. So ones that were, negative minutes of healthy life, or high environmental impacts, or both. So they saw that was things like processed meat, red meat, things like that. And then there was a yellow zone, which was kind of like foods in the middle, which were, more moderate environmental impacts or slightly nutritionally detrimental, I think is what they said. So
dairy, poultry.
Yeah. Yeah. Certain grains, eggs, things like that in that zone. And I did kind of like how they talked about, they just talked about like substituting red zone foods for green and yellow. So maybe you don't necessarily switch over all the red zone foods that you eat to green right away. Like they just kind of talked about picking one and maybe subbing that in for a green or a yellow zone food. So maybe, I don't know, you take like some sort of processed meat and you replace that with, I don't know, like beans or something like that. But I don't know. I thought that was interesting that they did kind of have a bit of a conversation around, not oversimplify things and just say only eat plant-based and get rid of all meat. Like they just kind of talked about gradually making substitutions, which was, I think, somewhat helpful. Because I think sometimes there's a lot of pressure to just totally overhaul your diet, right? And just cut everything out right away that's, quote, bad for you. And I don't necessarily find that that's helpful because, people try to make all these changes at once and that never really seems to be sustainable. So, that's, I guess, my thoughts on that. One thing I did want to talk about, like you and I talked about before we started recording, like the study was fine. Like, you know,
for how clickbaity the articles were, it seems pretty, like, the study itself is a lot more reasonable than any of the articles make it seem.
Yeah, and so
or at that, least the headlines.
Yeah, exactly. And that leads me to my point that, like, it's really, in my opinion, in this case, like, the media that's really, like, unhelpful in this situation. Like, taking one sentence from the study and, like, turning it into this these, like, huge headlines that probably create quite a bit of fear around certain mm-hmm. foods, or guilt around certain foods, or add stress to the eating experience to some people. And, like, I was reading a Facebook comment, like, about there was another dietitian that I follow that, like, on Facebook just posted some comments about the headlines, and someone, a woman, commented and said, like, you know, my autistic son, like, only one of the only foods he'll eat is hot dogs. You know, and this, obviously reading these headlines, like, weren't very helpful. Like, it was very stressful to read. And the dietitian's comment back was, you know what, like, at least he's eating, you know? Yeah. So you do have to take those things into consideration too. Like, it's just, it's not black and white, like, drop hot dogs at all costs, like, never eat them again. You know, you have to weigh, I don't know where I'm going here, but do you know what I'm
There's
saying?
There's a lot of, I think it just goes back to what you were saying, like, a lot more things go into your health than one individual food choice.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's a lot else to take into consideration.
Yeah, yeah. And I think, yeah, so I think that, like, sometimes, yeah, media outlets like this need to be a little more responsible with how they, like, relay these messages or quote these studies or things like that. So I know it's, like, funny and, like, attention grabbing. Like, when I heard it on the radio, you know, the radio hosts were, like, laughing about it and, like, oh my gosh, like, 36 minutes off your life for a hot dog, but then you can eat a PB&J, like, and gain life back. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they were having, like, a fun conversation about it.
Yeah.
And, I know. So I know it's, like, fun.
I can't wait to have a PB&J.
I know.
And put a hot dog in it.
Right in the middle of it. So then you'll be net negative 4 minutes.
Yeah. Darn it. I don't know if people might find this interesting, but some things that they didn't consider because they said that they didn't have enough data on them were baby foods, infant formula, fruit and vegetable juices, alcohol. They didn't do water, which I feel like it's kind of hard to. We need water, so it's like, what are you going to do? Coffee, tea, diet beverages as well. So those things weren't included on their list for those reasons that they say.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, so that's really all I have to say. I think that. Yeah, like I said, to kind of wrap up, I mean, it is, in my opinion, I don't think classifying foods into minutes gained or of healthy life gained or lost is really something we need to do. Mm-hmm. I don't think this study really saw anything that we didn't already know, really.
That's the thing. It's like, it's not really controversial. If anything, maybe. Like, there is gentle nutrition knowledge that could be pushed more in terms of public health about what ingredients in mixed foods or what, like, aspects of nutrition are, like, most important. But I think maybe that's hard. Like, that's why it's so frequent that we see things, like, in zones or with a check mark on them. You know what I mean? Like, it's hard to get into the nuance. So it's not, like, shocking to me that it would be translated in this way. But I agree with you. It's like, nothing here is really controversial. Like, we know about all these things already.
Yeah, like, we know, like, we've definitely seen all the stuff about processed meat and red meat and then fruits and vegetables and fiber and how beneficial all those things are. You know what I mean? Like, this didn't really show us anything new. So, I don't know how helpful it is to really... I mean, I guess it can be helpful to help people prioritize certain yeah. foods.
I think that's what they were saying is like, if you are like looking to make quote unquote more healthier choices for yourself, then maybe this is one way that some people would find it easy to be like, okay, like maybe I can take one of my quote red zone foods and change them out for a yellow or a green food. But also I think if that truly like is the beginning for someone, that's fine. But with time, I think people will presumably would get more comfortable with understanding at least like the basics of the nutritional benefits or detriments of certain, certain foods.
Yeah. And I think all in all, like, again, like I've already said, it's more important to consider your dietary pattern and, you know, the way you eat like long-term versus, one specific food that you might eat or enjoy from time to time.
That's a really good
point. I think
that's
kind of how I want to end, is like, remember that that's more important than every so often having, I don't know, like a hot dog at a barbecue, or you don't need to be afraid of that if for the most part you're prioritizing the foods that we already know are good for us and for our health and for a long, happy, healthy life.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Thank you, Hannah. I'm really glad you brought this topic.
Wow. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for chatting about it with me. Let us know what you guys think.
Let us know how long you're going to live.
Yeah. Do the math and let us know, based on everything you've eaten for the past however many years, let us know how long you're going to live. And we'll see who's going to live
That's
the longest.
That's so funny because, like, I mean, could you eat your way to 300 years old? Like,
it's just, well, so, that's the thing.
Part of it is so silly.
It's like, right, I could eat so many PB, and I could only eat PB&J sandwiches for like the rest of my life, and then I'm going to live forever.
On my quote unquote, on my deathbed, honey, this is my life bed. Give me that PB&J.
Okay, also one last thing. And I think this was one thing. A lot of people are talking about, like, the world champion of, like, the hot dog eating contest and, like, how he should be long gone by now if this was, like...
That's so funny.
If this was legit. And apparently he even commented on, like, some of the posts about it.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah.
I love that.
So you do have to take that in consideration as well.
Yeah.
Things like that. Because, yeah, he must eat other things that obviously counteract those... 36 minutes lost whenever he eats a hot dog. He eats a hot dog in like half of a second.
If you have to, I know it's a competition, but like the thought of wetting my hot dog bun so I can swallow it faster in order to get the next hot dog into my body, that is a scary thing for me to think about.
Yeah,
on that note,
I don't ever want to do that. Okay, thanks for listening, everyone. We'll talk to you guys on Friday. Make sure that you rate, review, and subscribe, and follow us on social media. Okay.
Yeah, bye.